the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. He talked about a group of people who being past feeling. Ephesians 4:19. You can read that when you get home. Past feeling. I don't want to ever get to a place in living for God to where He can't move me. Do you? Where I can't go to prayer and feel Him and feel His direction. Been times I've had to wait. I've asked for the right things, but they were a while in coming. But when we get past being able to feel the direction of God and God grows silent, boy, we into it. Amen. We are. And when I walk through those woods today, just stay with me. And the Lord dealt with my heart over an experience I had a while back. Brother Jim gave me a tape. I guess a lot of you listened to it. Of Brother Dwayne Gallagher preaching on the danger of technology. And I listened to that. And I said, my, what a preacher. What an eloquent speaker. I mean, just all them big pretty words just coming out just seemed like you didn't struggle for nothing. And you all probably have listened to that, and you've listened to me, and it ain't no wonder you're looking at me the way you're looking at me. But I'm just who I am. I can't change. I appreciate him. I appreciate his ministry. But really, really, I appreciate what the Lord does for me. I told my wife today, I was talking to her. Turn with us to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. She said, how's it going? I said, well, I'm so nervous I can't sit still. She said, and you know, it's the middle of the week and you still are? I said, yeah, I am. And I said, I never get comfortable until I get into it just a little bit. And then I feel the Lord. I was praying at the house earlier in the week. And I said, Lord, last night it was Sunday night when the Lord moved here Sunday morning. And Sunday night. How many believe the Lord moved here Sunday morning, Sunday night? And then it was Sunday night, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, I believe you're going down there at that little church. And I said, if you're going down there, if it's all right, I believe I'll just go with you. I believe I'll just go with you. Is that all right? In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, some familiar verses of Scripture. Stay with me a while. In the book of Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. Counsel thee, buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I love that sister's testimony. I've been right there 1,000 times, seems like. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. What's up with him? He with me. Him that overcometh will I grant to set with me my throne, even as I also overcame, and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Amen. Amen. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Ask God to help us a little while. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know how you dealt with my heart. I'm here. And You don't have to use me, but I appreciate you would anoint me for your people's sake. I ask you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When you read this book of Revelations, it's a book of symbols and types and shadows. And oftentimes when you read through it, you've got to be able to discern whether it's talking about the past or the present or the future. So, because a lot of its writings in there, are kind of mysterious. And the more you study them and the more you look at them, you find that some of them's talking about what happened back then. Some of them is dealing with what's going on right now. And some of them is dealing with what's going on in the future. This book was wrote, the importance of it is because it's one of the last times that Jesus Christ, after He went back to the Father, came back to this John, the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos. And John received from the Lord Jesus Christ His revelation. And as He wrote that down, I believe it would behoove us. It's almost as if after the Lord on the cross said it was finished, and He went back to the Father, but yet there was something that he wanted to come back and make sure that it made into Holy Bible, and He revealed what He wanted revealed unto John there on the Isle of Patmos. That gets my attention. That draws my attention. And I want to hear what it's got to say. Trying to discern that out, the past, the present, and the future, and the type, and the symbols, and the shadows, and this represents, and that represents. So this little Eastern Kentucky mind, sometimes I just got to sit down and just deal with one subject at a time. So what I want to deal with tonight is something that happened to me in church some while back. When you read about this book of Revelations and these letters that He wrote unto these seven churches here in Asia. They were seven literal churches in Asia that He addressed when He wrote this letter and He gave this revelation to John. But there is also a teaching that is popular among a lot of preachers, and I don't know whether it's right or whether it's not. I kind of tend to think that it's right. But they teach that when He wrote these letters here to these seven churches, not only were they several literal churches, but He also wrote that they represented, this is a thought, the school of thought that they've got, that they represented the seven dispensations that the church would go through as it existed on the earth before the Lord's coming. I don't know whether that's true or not. And really, it don't make a lot of difference to me, because what I say to one, he said, I say to all. They the people that preaches this doctrine of relativity. And they say, well, that's not relevant to the hour that we live in right now. It may have been relevant back then, but right now it's not relevant. Can I tell you that if it ever was relevant, it always will be relevant. He's not a God that changes. When our forefathers handed this Pentecostal blessing to us, they handed it to us with a consecrated, separated, dedicated out from among this world life, and you couldn't spot their life nowhere. I want to ask you a question. If you were to hand your Pentecostal experience to the generation that's coming up behind you, are you handing it to them in as good a shape as it was handed to you? They taught us in my church, brother, when children got up like these beautiful girls did a while ago, and they sung. Brother Rick Simpson, their pastor, he come in there, we didn't know nothing about nothing. And he watched that go on for about 7 months, and finally he got up one day, and he said, let me ask you something, Mama. Let me ask you something, Grandpa. And let me ask you something, elders of the church. He said, do you think that there is an all-out war to try to steal our young people out of the house of God? And we said, yeah. Well, he said, I'll ask you something. Would you not rather them get a genuine Pentecostal experience for themselves than to experience anything else? Well, yeah, sure we would. Well, he said, I will give you a piece of advice. He said, when them young people get up here to sing, and they're very talented, don't you just sit there.
Come on.
Because you're tired and you're wore out, and if you know the devil's after them with everything in them, you ought to be the first one on your feet when they even come close to getting to anything that sounds like a move of God, that kicks your heel up in the air and hollers, come on, girl, sing. We can't afford to sit back. We need to learn how to ride this stagecoach third class and get out and push. When them young people get up here and sing as beautiful, they just, I ain't trying to rebuke nobody. I'm telling you what I was called. He said, get on your feet. Come up here and holler, come on, girl. Rub on them a little bit and see if we can't push them up the hill.
If you ever quit singing, sis, you sing more. That's awesome. You learn more songs. You prepare your day for the house of the Lord. And you come here and use that beautiful talent that you got, and you shake this place to the core. I don't know how I run that rabbit trail right in the middle of this preaching.
When he wrote this letter to this church, there's people that thinks it speaks of the dispensations. And I think it does. I think when you read through that, you can see the church going through different stages that we, everyone, can relate to. But I mean, when you really start in the book, you know, the second chapter, and you read about this church of Ephesus, he said, I know thy works, that thou, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them to be liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. I mean, if you was to just take that right there to the church that we live in right now, and could get those things down that the Lord just commended this church over, that would be a powerful church.
But he said, I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You did not lose it. You just left it. In all of your labor, in all of your doing, you forgot the wonder. Wow. The overwhelming, born-again, jubilant experience you had when you got saved. How long has it been since you went somewhere and just sat down where there wasn't nobody around and reminisce? When he washed you inside out. Whew. Glory to God. Revival. I've talked to evangelists when you talk some that said that they were so burnt out with just the running from one service to the other service to the other service. That's what was going on in the first dispensation. But that's not only going on in the first dispensation, that's going on in the last dispensation, because we see it happening in the hour that we live in right now. Men and women are so engrossed in the work of God that they forgot the God of the work. And they lost the love. The most attractive thing that they've got to offer to this world is the love of Christ in their life. It supersedes all their labor, all their goings, all their organization, and everything they do. You let a man or woman have the love of Christ in their life, it'll affect every person on the job they work with.
They left that. They laid that down. Laid that down. He went on down. He talked to the other churches. Smyrna, that's what the Bible talked about with a poor, rich church. They were poor, but yet they were rich. Amen.
life consists not in the abundance of the things which you possess. I remember reading a story one time of a country music star who had a big mansion in Nashville. And once a month, he gave guided tours through that mansion. He'd retired from running the circuit, doing his concerts. And the writer of the story said that his faucets in was made of gold, pure gold. His faucets to run water through was made of gold. One of those guys said about halfway through one of them tours, they looked at him and said, "Man, this is it." Said, "This is almost like heaven." Said that old country music star, chuckled and said, "Heaven, this is hell." The more you got, the more you got to worry about. Don't think because you're poor. I listen to Brother Jim talk and some of the things that God's trying to do in your pastor's life, and I'm just all for him, and I'm 100% behind him. I got laid off one time back home, and an old feller come to me, and I was blue as a fish hook, didn't know what I was going to do. And he come to me, and he kind of laughed and looked at me and said, "When's the last time you picked up the paper and read where somebody starved to death? You might lose some toys and tricks, but they ain't nobody going to starve to death. Every one of us can find a warm place to lay down, and every one of us can buy a can of beans somewhere and sit down and have something to eat." I think what's happened to us is that we've got so used to our toys and our comforts and our creature comforts that if we have to go through a little discomfort, we think the whole world's about to fall on it. But he told this church, "You're poor, but don't let that bother you because you're rich." Talked about that, and that was the second, and you know, and I'm trying to hurry. I'm watching the clock. God help me. He talked to that church, and then he talked to Pergamos, and he got on them for their false doctrine. And he went all the way down. Sardis, they had a name that they lived, and they're dead. I don't know if you ever have, but I have. And I'm trying to hurry. I want to get to what God dealt with me on. That church had a name that they lived, but they's dead. Now, you hear me real well. I've walked in to some churches, and I'm telling you the truth. God knows my heart. I've not got a wrong intent here at all, Brother Jim. My heart's just, all I want to do is right. But I walked into some churches that was clean as a hound's tooth. That you couldn't spot nothing. They had everything. Just, I mean, it's just like they took the Bible and chiseled it out of stone. Everything they was doing was modest and decent and set apart and out from among and everything until it got to worship and they was dead as a hammer. They had a name of holiness, but they had no demonstration of the power of God among them. I'll tell you, it don't matter the name you live if the power of God fails to fall among you. You may have a name that you live. He told that church, "You're doing exactly what you said you was doing, but you're dead as a hammer." Amen. You're going to have to get a little bit of excitement to you and come out of your comfort zone and do something different. Amen. He did. He done all that. And then he got down to this church. And if that doctrine, this Bible, if that doctrine of dispensationalism is true and it has some merit to it, then when he got down to this Laodicean church and God wrote this letter to the Laodicean church, and we read of everything that he done in these other churches, everything that these churches had allowed the devil to do, to come in there to try to steal the presence of God out from among them. We read all of them. And if that dispensation teaching is right, then is not this letter to this last church a combination of all that the devil has learned about how to tear down a church? He ain't God.
evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know what that means? That means that as he has existed, he has learned through trial and error how to tear down the church more and more. And if he gets down to this place right here, it's not this the culmination, the climax of all that he's learned about how to tear down the church. And is not God merciful enough that he come on the scene and said, I got to write to you one more time and tell you what he's going to do to you just before I come. I know your works. Behold, I know your works. You ain't hot, and you ain't cold. You're lukewarm, ambient, room temperature. You fit in with whatever's going on in the room. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. If it tries to pick up a little bit, you got enough God sense to... If it's just lukewarm, then you just lukewarm with it. And lukewarm people console one another. Oh, I'm going through this. And another lukewarm person pats him on the back and say, oh, it'd be all right. We all go through stuff like that. Yeah, we're all in that place right there. Yeah, I do that too. And yeah, and you find everybody in the church just patting one another on the back and say, we all, and yes, we all, and poor little old all, and all, we're doing good. God's a-helping us. Lukewarm people know enough about God to know when to say amen. To know when the Spirit moves, they know enough to jump up and they need to move a little bit with it. They know enough when the Spirit moves, when He's about to dial them in and they become such masters of camouflage that they know how to paint the picture where nobody can see them. Lukewarm people have learned to fit in with any situation that's dealt to them. They're not the fire that God wants them to be when they walk into a place. They are that candle set on a stick that illuminates the whole room. They're not that. They're just that light that's under a bushel. Yeah, it's still it, but it fits in under that bushel. That's what lukewarm people are. You ask lukewarm people how they're doing. Well, I'm doing good. How you doing, brother? Doing good. How's you and God? Well, I've better than ever been. Got more than I ever got. Eat fat and sassy. Food on the table. Good home. Cool in the summertime. Warm in the wintertime. How's church? Church going good. Everything's just fine. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. Lukewarm people says I've got it better than I ever had it in my life. If I wasn't preaching and I walked over to you and I said, how's it going? Going good. How's the Lord treating you? Good. You doing all right in church? Doing good, yeah. There's something bad wrong when we say one thing about ourselves and then we look at God and He says something else about us. There's a lot of people in Lukewarmville. There's a big crowd there. If you was to catch on fire in Lukewarmville, they'd say you was a little bit fanatical. That person's kind of went off the deep end. He's a little crazy. Amen. That's what they'd say. I wish I could preach. I don't know if God let me or not. I'd like to preach to you about that candlestick a little while. I really would. I preach about that, brother. I preach about that candlestick. God, I was walking through the mountains one day, and God showed me that candlestick message. Great God of heaven, I'm feeling it right now, but I ain't going to. Lukewarm people say, I'm doing good. Church is doing good. Amen. How long's it been since something happened like that sister said, and God scooted up next to you and said, you need to correct this and this and this, and you need to come out of that and that and that. Whom I love, I rebuke and I chasten, be they therefore and repent. How long's it been since God talked to you? I'm rich. I'm doing good. I'm increased with good. Brother Jim, he got all the way down
to the end of that, he said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to buy me gold riding afar. You need to cover up the shame of your nakedness. It's pretty easy to see your nakedness. But this last dispensation, this last state that we live in, you can't see it. I'm all right. No, you're not. No, you're not. The Lord's trying to help you. He said, lo, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man can hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. I was in church a little while back. And you hear me. The Holy Ghost dealt with me today, brother. I remember this plain as day. I was in church a little while back. And they were shouting and running. And people were dancing in the Spirit over here. And I was about the third pew back over here. And I felt the Lord deal with my heart. And I just rolled off of my pew. And I said, Lord, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Seemed like it's been a while since I've heard you speak to my heart. And God, a preacher ain't worth the shoe leather he got his foot crammed in. If he don't have a revelation, if he don't have inspiration from God. I said, Lord, is there something you could say to me that I could say unto your people? Or am I going to dry and spit cotton and go on like I went on the last month? And clear as a crystal, all he said to me was, can you hear me now? I said, I heard that, Lord. Okay, come on. Nothing else. Can you hear me now? Nothing else. Nothing, Brother Jim. I was puzzled. I hear you, Lord, but what? I don't. That's all he said. Can you hear me now? I didn't know what was going on. We've got an old brother in our church. He's a contractor. He's got a lot of equipment there, and he parks it up there on the way to my house. And I got out of church, and I was going home, and I was driving up the road, and I said, Lord, I heard you say, can you hear me now? But I ain't got a clue what you were saying. I don't know what's going on here. What did you say that to me for? And I seen that brother beside the road there where he parks all of his equipment. And he was standing there beside the road. I thought something was wrong. So I just pulled over there where he's at, and his name's Philip. I said, Philip, everything all right? His wife's name's Sharon. And that's a dead spot right there where he parks that equipment. You can't get no cell phone signal. And he was walking back and forth through that parking lot with that phone. He'd look at it, and when he'd see a bar or two, he'd say, Sharon, can you hear me now? He'd walk over here, and he'd say, Sharon, you're breaking up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I said, is everything all right, Bill? It's all right. I'm just trying to get up to Sharon, but I can't get a hold of her. I pulled out of there and went home. I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? I got home. I got my family in the bed. I went in there to the living room. And I grabbed my Bible and I knelt down. I prayed. I said, Lord, I've heard you, and I heard you plain as crystal say, can you hear me now? But you know, you've got to speak plain to me. I do not know what you was talking about, and I do not know what to do with what you said. You've got to give me something. I rolled my Bible open. It fell exactly to the Laodicean church, and I began reading down that Bible, and I got to that place where he said, Lord, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man can hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. And he with me. I said, I hear you now, Lord. What are you saying? And he took me off. I don't know if it's in a vision or what it was. And he showed me his mercy. It's very tender mercy. When he first extends it, it's almost too good to believe. You know my sins can be as scarlet and you'll make them white as snow. I can come and reason with you and you'll cut me a deal like that. That sounds
almost too good to be true. But he's shown me people that he extended that pure, gentle gift to that did not accept it, but his mercy extended. You ought to hear Rick Simpson preach on extended mercy. And he tried something else. And he tried something else. And he tried something else. And I seen a loving, kind Savior standing in front of a door, knocking, going, "Hey, can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me now? Maybe I'll try. Maybe if I holler, hey, are you in there? Can you hear me? I know you're in there. Hey, I'll beat down here. I'll beat over here. I'll try this. Hey, can you? And Brother Jim, when I walked out of them woods today, the Holy Ghost said, "I'm trying to talk to them, but I'm having trouble. Can you hear me now?" Oh, up here, Holy Ghost, help us right here now. Help us right here now, Lord. I want the prayer, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask you something. Some of you's been here every night. Can you hear me now? Every eye closed, every hand raised. Come on, raise your hands. There's a Savior trying to get our attention. He's been here all week, Brother Jim. Union Grove. Hey, Union Grove. Hey, Union Grove. Hey, yeah, you. Yeah, you. Can I come in? Will you sit down and sup with me? We need to talk about a few things that's messed up a little. I love you. That's the reason I'm here. Be zealous. Let me in. And let me talk to you about how you... Have you got an ear to hear? Can you hear me now? I knocked hard. I knocked soft. I hollered. I knocked on the bottom of the door. I knocked on the top. I'm still knocking. I ain't quit knocking. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm at the door. I'm knocking. You think you're all right? I need to talk to you. I love 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 you. Will you open the door? Can I tell you, you may not be able to hear it, but there's someone at the door. He loves you with an everlasting love. He gave the very best heaven had to offer for you, and he wants to come in and talk to you a little while. It is very, very important that you open the door right now. We better not miss God in the week of his visitation. I felt him here all week long. He's a knocking on the door. I want to ask you, can you hear me now? These altars are open. Everybody in this house needs to make your way to an altar. And you better open the heart's door. And you better let the Savior come in and begin to talk to you. I feel the Holy Ghost right here in this building right now. You better get to the door.